We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Prior to this mistake, this sexting episode, this is a normal young girl. This is not a girl with violent mood swings.
She was vivacious. She was fun. She was artistic. She was compassionate. She was a good kid.
That's Cynthia Logan, mother of an 18-year-old daughter who committed suicide this summer after a well-publicized sexting incident with her former boyfriend, being interviewed by Matt Lauer on Today Show. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. What in the world? Really? Teenagers, and most of them girls, and if the research on this is accurate, most of them relatively well-adjusted, suburban, some, you know, these Midwest fresh-faced girls sending their boyfriends and others pictures of themselves that, if they appeared in magazines, would be surrounded in brown paper. Of course, they don't surround them in brown paper anymore. Maybe that has something to do with it. Sexting, texting photos and other things to one another, young people, of a lurid nature. What is going on? We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 13th of March. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. And our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us to talk about sexting in the first 10 minutes of the program. Then Dr. Albert Moeller will be our guest. We'll talk about that new survey on Americans and their religious, well, I was going to say preferences, but how they identify themselves religiously. Very key to some of the insights in that research. And then Pastor Stephen Parks will answer some objections to sola scriptura, scripture alone, later in the second hour of the program. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right. I'm not that old. I'm 45. Back in my teenage years, the last thing I would have done, and I think probably even less likely for a girl to have done, was to send a naked picture of herself. I would have probably been delighted as a teenage boy to get one, I mean, to be honest with you, but they weren't sending them in those days. What has changed?
Well, Todd, you know, when I was listening to your tea up there, it occurred to me, we have been telling people that sex is no big deal and that the human body is no big deal, and they're believing it. That, you know, this generation has heard that so much, so many times from so many sources, that they believe that sex is just another recreational activity and that the human body has no real connection to them, so that if they expose themselves, then that's not going to matter to them. If they do things with their body, that isn't going to matter to them. And what you have here is a young lady who acted on this belief naively, as you indicated, nice, fresh-faced, wholesome girl, naively accepting what she's been taught, and then finding in the core of her being that actually it does matter, right? Actually, it does matter what you do with your body. It does matter whether you expose it to the eyes of strangers, and it does matter whether you have sex with somebody who then turns out not to be your friend and to treat you like not they're not your friend. And so the fact is that in spite of all of this so-called sex education that people have been given and all of the media messages that we've been giving people, the fact is she was still deeply humiliated by her classmates talking about her behind her back about these naked pictures. And the fact is, the classmates still found that something shameful, something that they knew they could get a rise out of somebody by calling her a slut and all this other kind of stuff. So in spite of the most intense propaganda to the contrary, deep in our hearts, we know that sex is deeply significant and that our bodies are deeply important, and they're not just like a shell that we drive around in that we can do anything we want with. That what we've been taught about sex is completely false, and the people who are talking like that, the people who are saying sex is nothing but a recreational activity, those people have this girl's blood on their hands. That's what I think. They have blood on their hands, the people who talk like this.
Some people would tend to blame the technology. It's just too easy. We need to get the cell phones out of the kids' hands because they can say anything they want, do anything. And, of course, with the viral nature of this kind of communication, it spreads like wildfire. Would you blame the technology, Jen?
You know, Todd, that is a lame excuse, I think. I mean, you know, yes, you can, without denying that it's true, that it's easy to communicate, you know, people could be sending Bible verses by text message, too. You know, so that is an attempt, a very lame attempt, to get a technological fix for something that is essentially a moral problem. So a moral problem does not have a purely technological solution. Even if you do get the technology out of their hands, you still have to confront the moral problem, okay? The moral problem here is what I said at the beginning, which is that sex really is a big deal, and what we do with our bodies really does matter. And as long as people are in denial about that point and wanting to do whatever they want, then, yes, some technologies are more dangerous than others, but you are going to have a problem of some form or fashion until you deal with that underlying false message that is so prevalent in our culture today.
Okay, so this is a symptom of really just a tragic symptom of something that is far greater. If there were a countervailing alternative message to send to young people today about sex, about their bodies, about who they are as sexual beings at this point in their life, what it means for them as they continue to grow up and mature, all of those things. How would you phrase that in a nutshell, Jen?
Well, the fact is that the goal of having a sexual body and being sexually differentiated, the fact is our goal is lifelong married love. That's the proper context for sexual activity. That's the proper context for childbearing. And childbearing and sex are integrally related to one another. They're deeply and profoundly related. And that by separating everything out the way we've tried to do, we're really breaking ourselves in part here, too. You know, in other words, to say, oh, it's okay to have sex without having babies, don't even think about babies. That means that now sex is a recreational activity, and it's a tough sell to say that it isn't a recreational activity, you know. But the fact is that by removing the procreative aspect from it, you also end up removing the relationship aspect of it, because then it doesn't matter who you are having a sexual relationship with. You don't take the same kind of care in picking out who you're going to be sexual with. So all of those things work together to make this a much more difficult and painful situation than it needs to be. This should be, you know, your sex life should be something beautiful and joyful and wonderful. It shouldn't be fraught with this kind of pain. And if you're married, your sex life is wonderful and beautiful and joyful, at least most of the time. And if it's not, you get another shot at it the next night because you're with the same person and you can build up the relationship.
Okay, how would you respond to, I would call them kind of, and you might even fall in this category yourself, Jen, so please don't be offended if you do, kind of the former hippies, the former free lovers of the 60s generation, who say, come on, we sowed our wild oats with the means we had at our disposal, maybe it was a commune or free love, and these kids are just doing the same thing electronically, it's harmless.
Well, I think that is a grotesquely irresponsible position, no matter what you did back in the 60s. There are many repentant former free lovers, okay? I'll tell you that right now. There are plenty of people who did all kinds of crazy stuff in the 60s who have grown up enough to realize that it was really a mistake. And therefore, they look at these new developments and realize that what we did was a mistake, and now the clock has moved on further. The whole process has accelerated, and so what the kids are exposed to today is much more dangerous, much more difficult, much more painful. And so I think the responsible position is to say, you know, look, it looked like a good idea at the time, but we know already this is not a good idea, that what we did wasn't so great, and what you're doing is likely to be even worse. So, you know, let's learn from our mistakes rather than perpetuate them. And I actually do think, Todd, that you can understand a lot of the culture wars in exactly these terms. Because let's face it, the baby boom generation, the post-hippie generation, that's a generation that is of the age that controls the culture and the society. So what you have is a conflict between the baby boomers who are repentant for what they did and the baby boomers who are still trying to justify and rationalize what they did and who are not willing to rethink what they did. They're still trying to justify what they did when they were in college. And it seems to me that that in my experience in talking with a lot of people in my age group and other age groups, I think most people, as a matter of fact, within the baby boom generation, have at least some regrets about this whole situation. And I think what is unfortunate is that people tend to view the whole thing as a big package deal, and they say, well, we can't change everything, so we can't and go back to the 50s, the dreaded 50s. You know, we can't do that. So let's not bother trying to change anything. And I think that's the wrong approach. I think it would be better to say, you know, I can get behind changing this part of our culture. I can get behind trying to help the kids to not get sexualized quite so early. I think if you had a campaign that was just like that, on that topic and nothing else, a lot of people could say, you know what, I agree with that. I'm on board for that. They might not agree with you and me on divorce reform or cohabitation or a whole bunch of other issues, you know. But I think what we need to do is to build up groups of people who can take the ball forward in some area or another. And that's what we try to do at the Ruth Institute.
Jennifer Robach Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute. You'll find a link to the Ruth Institute at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. When we come back, Dr. Albert Moeller on a new survey on American religious life.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter, and we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Here are a few of the features of the new Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Study notes, application notes, and prayers from a uniquely Lutheran perspective. 120 maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.